every Arizona homeowner's best friend for 30 years.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House.
Well, I'm riding along, singing the same old cowboy song that's been sung 100
Good morning.
Times before.
Welcome to Rosie on the House.
Ain't got nothing.
You know, I get calls every week where people say they set their alarm for this music to hear you come in and come on into Rosie's house. So you got to be gentle.
That makes it all worthwhile.
It does.
Good morning, y'all. We are Arizona Homeowners Weekend Wake-Up Call, and proud to do it. And humbled that we're asked to do it. Here every Saturday morning for the sole purpose of trying to become every Arizona homeowner's best friend. You can let it roll, Gary. That just sounds so good this morning.
We get calls about this song, and I guess we should tell everyone. It's called Desert Skies by the Marshall Tucker Band, from the 70s. Great band.
Oh, man. That whole album is a great, great album.
It's a good record. Great band, too.
I love the Marshall Tucker Band. I wonder if Clyde Tombaugh ever rode a horse across the deserts of Arizona.
I don't think he had time. He was too busy counting little dots on a piece of glass.
Jennifer and I had an extremely interesting last weekend trip to Flagstaff. And we did an Airbnb cabin.
Waited a little long to get it. It was a little far from everything we wanted to do.
But a beautiful view of the mountain across a beautiful meadow, a really nice hangout. Took the grandkids. Santa Claus told the grandkids that they had one ski weekend. They were 7 and 5?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Our two granddaughters.
And they were told that Santa Claus would treat them to skiing this year to learn how to ski. So that was the designated weekend that was chosen. The cabin was rented. The equipment was rented. The tickets were purchased. And, of course, we got blown off the mountain Monday in a storm that was just horrendous. As a matter of fact, the entire Snowball Resort was closed. Now, you had to drive all the way up there to find that out.
Note, if you're going to Snowball, you're going to have to dig a little bit for information. So do your due diligence. Don't assume anything. But we got there the first day,
Sunday was nice.
And Katie and Bruce and the kids were up there, and they had already made it to the top of the mountain. And we were at the bottom by the 11 o'clock. It was jamming, absolutely jamming. It had the whole rest of the day. Kids up and down the mountain. The girls lasted all afternoon.
It was pretty incredible. Our seven-year-old stepped into her skis.
First time.
And just started walking around. And then the other five-year-old is walking around, and we're trying to get her attention. These are boots, and you step in. Hi, what's your name? I'm Charlotte. I'm 5. How old are you? I mean,
she had a group of kids around her all the time.
In the first 2 hours, you know, it's like, Charlotte, we are here to learn to ski. Can I get your attention just for 5 minutes?
So then you got her skiing.
My name's Charlotte. I'm 5. How old are you?
And then she's skiing and visiting, so that she learned to multitask.
By the time I get her skied up to over kind of in the Bunny Hill area, Charlotte's been up and down Chloe's been up and down the run now 4 or 5 times without any instruction, any lessons. No, this is how you snow plow. This is how you edge. So she was wanting to get up that chairlift. Hey, T-Pair, where do we go up that chairlift? So, but one of the days that the blizzard blew in, we opted to go spend the morning at Lowell Observatory. And folks, if y'all, and I've been there before, but now it's just like I want to go every time I'm in Flagstaff. We were there on the day that was celebrating the 50th anniversary of Pluto being discovered by an intern who was being paid nothing, who had moved to Flagstaff from Kansas and was living in an upstairs apartment giving free food, and lodging. And he somehow was suspicious that there was an undiscovered planet.
Well, Lowell had been. And so
Percival.
This is what Clyde had been tasked with, was finding this. And he had been known for, he grew up on a farm and building his own telescopes out of stuff around the farm.
Irrigation pipe.
Yeah. So they put together this telescope at Lowell, and it's made of an irrigation pipe, metal scaffolding.
Leftover salvage material.
Everything except for the glass plate, which is pretty impressive in itself.
That's the only thing they paid for was the actual lenses. It's $10,000.
You know, it's worth the trip just to go in and see
that. In 1928, I think?
Yes.
Yeah.
And just to see the building it's housed in. You know, you walk up these beautiful staircase. Of course, the building's kind of cylinder. And then up these beautiful staircase. The telescope sits up top. And then the entire roof, of course, opens, but it's the most beautiful wood and mechanism. That itself is an artwork.
Some pretty incredible carpentry. So you have this Kansas intern working for free, working on this theory, something's out there. And this telescope really isn't a telescope.
It's more of a camera.
And you slide the glass plate in, and then you find something to do for an hour and a half. And inside that observatory, it's cold. You know, it's open to the sky, and it's January. So you're finding something to do for an hour and a half, and then you take the plate and you run downstairs to the black room and you develop it.
And how many little dots are on that plate when you finish?
Gary, the plate is 16 inches by 16 inches, about. I didn't measure it, but that's about what I'd say. So it's a good-sized glass plate. There are 160,000 impressions, whether it's asteroids, stars,
planets,
whatever it is, 160,000 impressions on that 16 by 16 plate. He finds the one. And I mean, it's little. They actually show you the actual plate he used. I mean, the dot, it's smaller than like those little plastic beads on the head of a pin.
Well, and he had to pull plate after plate after plate 6 days in a row, and he's, you know, looking at them. They had some, of course, scientific ways to eliminate.
Okay.
But they were looking for something that was moving.
Okay, Gary.
Planets move.
So yeah, you're tracking 160,000 of these things,
right,
and you got to find the ones that's moving.
That was what's blowing my mind.
Well, he had no education. I mean, he just finished high school.
Needle in the haystack.
And then once you discover it's moving, tell me how you decide if it's an asteroid or
exactly
a planet.
It was planet. They were looking for Planet X, is what they called it.
They were. They knew something out there was causing a gravitational pull on the last known planet in the solar system at the time. So they were suspicious there was one more planet out there creating that gravitational pull.
Wow.
But they were wrong. It was actually a cluster of debris that circles our planetary system that was causing the pull. And Pluto just happens to be the largest single object in that field, that debris field.
Wow.
And
it got named a planet, then it got unnamed. Now it's a dwarf planet, and now they're thinking maybe rename it a planet.
They may give it its planet designation back because they're redefining the criteria of what a planet is. But it's a dwarf planet. I mean, the entire planet would fit between Houston and Washington, D.C. It's just a little bitty old thing.
It's like a little interstate planet.
That's right.
Well, you know, I'm thinking, you know, you're looking for a planet, and if I'm not mistaken, you're looking for something round. Whereas an asteroid doesn't have a standard shape, right?
True.
You know, it's a broken up rock flying through the air. So that's fascinating that they had to go through that much, a needle in the haystack.
Okay, let me put you on the spot. The sun is 93 million miles from Earth.
Okay.
How far is Pluto?
93 times, just a wild guess, 93 times 100.
93 times 100.
100 million,
You're thinking like 9 billion?
Okay.
Okay, it's half that. It's 4.7 billion miles.
I'd lose on still the Price
pretty,
is Right.
Well, still pretty impressive, don't you think?
How do you even see something 4.7 billion miles away?
To build something that could take a picture of something that far away. And they've recently restored the telescope, and they're having a grand reopening on March 10th.
Yeah.
From 3 to 5 in the afternoon, you don't need a reservation. But I would suggest getting up there before then, because it's all ready to go. It's beautiful. You can get the tour every day. Curtis, we took a tour with Curtis. He did an awesome
job. Excellent docent. Excellent teller of stories. Okay, so Clyde Tombaugh, this uneducated Kansas farm boy, building telescopes out of scrap material, comes to Lowell Observatory as a intern working for free, ham sandwiches and a cot, discovers Pluto. The end of the story? He dies at 90, and not too long ago.
He did eventually get his degree and then go back to Lowell.
He did. They put his ashes on the New Horizons spacecraft that launched January 19, 2006, and flew past Pluto in 2015.
Wow.
Now, how cool is that? And if y'all want to see the pictures of Pluto taken by this spaceship, 16,000 miles above Pluto, it is some incredible photography. NASA has it all posted on their website. Go and take a look. So Jenny and I just had a fabulous, fabulous weekend in Flagstaff, which was our staycation destination of last month.
And Curtis did such a good job that even from us to down to the kids, everybody got something out of the talk, and everybody was enamored.
It was great. Hey, let's talk Olympics when we get back. There's some real Cinderella stories in this year's events, right when we get back.